Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Sportive. Brandon's not here tonight. I'm John. I'm hosting. Stu is here.
What's up, cool cats and kittens?
And in the self-quarantine period, Stu's greetings have gotten, if possible, worse. And also here is Chicken Finger 69.
Son of a bitch, Stu. You stole my line. I was going to say, that's okay. Son of a bitch.
It's good times. It's been a while since we've done an actual sportive podcast. Stu and Mandy did one not too long ago, but for that actual, that seems 1 million years
seriously.
Ago. The last time we did an actual podcast where we talked about sports, there were sports to talk about.
Yeah. On this,
it's been
the 185th day of March, we are doing trying to do an actual podcast. We'll see how it goes.
It's been quite the year. How are you guys holding up?
Man, I mean, all things considered, fine. It's just, I tell you, when you make the decision to move out of your house into a 950 square foot apartment, you don't bank on a pandemic. You really don't. You just, the only time you can leave the house is to go to the store for toilet paper that doesn't exist. Yeah, I should have looked at the monkey's paw when I wished on it. You know? But beyond that,
yeah,
obviously, I'm compared to so many other people, we're fine.
Amen.
I do sort of feel like my wish came true, but I wasn't quite specific enough, and now I'm stuck in a Twilight Zone episode. Because suddenly I have nowhere to go in the evening, no plans with other people, I am working from home every day. This, in so many ways, is exactly what I wanted, especially in terms of my ability to consume sports. But what I forgot to also ask for was that sports continued to exist during this time of plenty and goodness for me.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah.
Nobody has any reaction to that because there's just nothing to say.
I mean,
there's nothing to say to it.
No, it's just I guess, and Chicken can also check in on this, as he has younger children. Not, I don't know how people with young kids are doing this. I checked in with a friend of the program, Floyd, who is a school teacher, so he has to teach kids and also has two young kids. And his and Melissa, his wife, is also working. And I don't know how that is some serious, like, you're giving out purple hearts when all this shit is done. I mean, that's just,
God,
I don't
bless
know
him.
How. Yeah, no, I mean, Piper is 16, so she's pretty much, you know, she's good. She's fine. And but yeah, if you got younger kids, man, I tell you what, I'm putting on extra hats to tip my hats to you.
I don't know.
Chicken, how are?
Oh, go ahead.
How are your kids doing?
They're fine.
Sorry, I was just
no the youngest one is 11. Pretty much takes care of himself. They wake up. They've got their apparently Zoom is the thing that you get on,
yeah,
and you do the online learning. They've got their class schedule set up. They pretty much I'm in the way. Let's say that I am not an asset in the building. I am a detriment in the building. They just, I say, hey, what time do you want lunch? And that's my job. Just a cook. I'm the school cook. I'm the school janitor, the school cook. Not really a teacher or even a para in any way. They haven't come to me. They certainly haven't come to me with any IT issues. I've offered, and they just look at me and kind of give a little chuckle and then walk away. And they help each other out. It's good having a number of children in that sense is a good thing, in that they help each other out. And you know, I'm not saying I've encouraged, like, some of them that are better at certain subjects than others to do the work for their other, you know, just to up their grades. Like, who would know? Like, hey, you're really good at drawing. You do the art, this art project. Like, how the hell would your teacher know? And they, again, look at me because that's what I do. I'm a cheater, right? And they're not. They are good people, and they look at me like, Dad, no, that's not. I don't know where these kids came from, but they're like, no, I have to do the work myself. So they're doing pretty well, John. I think the biggest thing for me was going from 1,000 miles an hour to zero. You know, like this coming weekend, we were quintuple booked. We had four different tournaments to go to and a wedding.
Jesus.
Some of which were going to have to be missed. Obviously can't be in all those places at once. Obviously we're not doing any of those things. But that's the odd part, is that every night we had somewhere to be. I had somewhere to be. You know, during the day I'm at work, and then at night I had somewhere else to be. No. During the day I'm at home. At night I'm at home. In the morning I'm at home. Then I'm at home, and then at night I'm still at home. That's, I think, the biggest thing, was going from 1,000 miles an hour to zero.
Would you say that's good or bad?
I don't know. It's not good. It's not good. I enjoyed it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to do anything I don't like. It's fine. It's probably good perspective. Kind of cutting open a vein here a little bit. It's good. That's the biggest thing. It's not, look, but as Stu said, we're in great shape. We're doing fine. So many others are doing so much worse. I'm really stretching to find something to bitch about here.
Exactly. It's like, I don't think someone working in an ER in Brooklyn is going to give a shit.
No.
that our weekends are dead.
Oh, did you miss your hockey tournament? Yeah, tough titty. Yeah, you fucker. Yeah. I realize I'm a bitch for even bringing it up, but you asked.
Yeah,
so
no,
I
exactly.
Offer.
And yeah, it is. But no. It's all the perspective shift is just, you know, it's, we had all these things going on, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, well, you're probably going to have to figure out what to do with your time instead of just drinking and being like sad and anxious all the time, because you can't do this for the amount of time it's probably going to take to get over it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, And it also occurs to me, the last live sporting event I saw was Chicken's son's hockey game.
That's holy crap.
That's
remarkable.
It is. I was psyched. Mandy and I were talking about going to like opening day at Target Field. We're going to make a day out of it. Brewery was going to like, we're going to maybe like go as like a whole Surly thing. And yeah, that's not going to happen on Thursday. So
no, nope.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Nope. So yeah, that is the last live sporting event I saw was a fifth and sixth grade hockey game. So, hey, with these giants from the Johnson Governors.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, in a sense, you saw a professional. At least yeah. You saw a professional sport here, at least one
true.
Half
My
of one.
God. Fucking Goliath. Jesus. Just a bunch of redwoods on skates.
Pieces of shit. God damn it, Stu.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's okay.
It's Jesus. Good. It's good to remember those things sometimes.
One good thing is the boy and I have had plenty of opportunity to do some workouts. Like we're getting them bigger.
Oh God,
trying to get them to match those fuckers. Jesus.
Yeah. No. on a personal milestone, I have lost 8 pounds since working from home.
Holy shit, Stu! That's awesome.
The dog and I walk a lot, and
sure.
And Piper wants to get out of the house, so she'll go walking with us. And I mean, as far as social distancing goes, downtown St. Paul has a lot to offer in that regard. the mean jokes Minneapolis people made clearly were true before the pandemic, and now, man, everyone's crowding around Nokomis. Downtown St. Paul, if you want to have some freedom, hey, you're good to go there.
In many ways, St. Paul was already the social distancing capital of North America.
Yeah. Plenty of practice.
Seriously.
Yep.
Seriously, it's been very easy to do that. So yeah, I think a lot of like the first like week, just the adjusting and the overall anxiety probably didn't help my appetite. It was like, maybe like a sandwich at lunch and like half of a dinner and then four beers and then go to bed for 4 hours and then wake up terrified again. But now it's settled in and, but yeah, I did not want to talk about this shit too much on this because nobody wants to hear a podcast about the coronavirus from three sports dipshits. So, but I do know that, you're supposed to like watch like certain like health issues and I don't recommend everyone pound 8 beers before bed because that's more of a non-pandemic thing. Mm-hmm. But it's helped me so far. No, I'm kidding. So I don't know where I was going with that. So I withdraw the remark, Your Honor. Continue, please.
Well, drinking a lot before bed does sort of lead into the one thing that we do have to talk about right now, which is our 64 best beers / reasons to have a beer bracket that we started running on.
Do we have 64?
The sportive. We do have 64. We did the voting for Region 1 today. There was some confusion because we were putting up Twitter polls with sort of a pod system where you had to pick one out of four choices. And the reason we did that is because we've annoyed people on the internet for a long time now, I thought it would be even more annoying if we ran 63 polls in the next few days. I kind of felt like people were going to get sick of that, so instead we're going to run 30 or whatever that math works out to. I didn't work that math out, but
that's okay.
We put together our 1 through 64 seeds of the best beers. I think the number one overall seed was.
Who you got?
It's the first warm day of the year, and you're sitting on a patio having a beer, which my brother immediately pointed out that you could only do about 10 of these beers total now. So in a way, we're taunting people, but I prefer to think of it as we're reminding people of what has been and will come again. So the voting's taking place on the Sportive Twitter account, on the Sportive Facebook page. I'm pretty sure. I didn't actually check Facebook to see that was happening, but maybe you can tell me different. And we're going to keep doing that until we find a winner. Do you guys have an early favorite in the clubhouse? I think an underrated one, a low seed that came up today was the 10th seed of a small town wedding dance that you haven't actually been invited to. That's a good beer.
That's a really good beer. And I mean, there's a certain subsect of our listenership, our expansive listenership, that gets that so deep mm-hmm. in their bones that it's just such a thing. It's like, oh, I know that guy, maybe kind of. Let's just go in there and you just, you know, 5 minutes later, you're like drinking draft Coors Light with a bunch of guys who sort of look like guys you went to high school with, but you did not go to high school with them. That is the ultimate rural Minnesota drunk right there. And I think it's a very underrated beer.
And I want to be clear about one thing here. It's not, you're not crashing this wedding dance. This is not like a, oh, I'm going to go drink this free beer that's provided. It's more like this wedding dance, for whatever reason, is at the Legion Post. And the Legion Bar is open, same as it always is. They just have a DJ tonight. And so you got the wedding party that's there and dressed up, and then everybody else in town is there, mm-hmm. just as they always are at the Legion, yeah. just enjoying this. And it looking back on it now, it seems absolutely insane to me that it was like, oh, it's so and so's wedding dance tonight. I've heard of those people. Let's go.
And I picture, so you're at the Legion, and like the father of the bride. You know, for drink they hand out the drink tickets, like the raffle tickets from the county fair, but they're drink tickets.
Right.
And he's handing them out. The old man's handing them out like the promoter on the Vegas Strip, you know, just left and right. And now, oh, God, that is a great beer. That's a good beer.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was the one I thought today was underseeded. So we'll see how it plays out.
I like the pontoon beer. I'm a, it's a three seed, I believe, three seed.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you know, it's like a Creighton. Yeah, I like, I think it could go far. I like a three
seed.
Yeah, I like picking three seeds.
That one's definitely the high seed coming out of the mid-major kind of thing. The team that's 31-1 on the season. But they're a three seed because they're from conference you can't actually name any other teams in.
Mm-hmm. Who you got?
I don't know. I'm
who are you picking to win at all? Ah, that's a one seed. Yeah, the first warm patio beer, first warm day patio beer. That's a tough. It's a one seed for a reason.
I'm looking through some of the other regions, just picking a few out. There's an 11 seed in the third region of the hotels right next to a liquor store beer. I think that's an underrated beer. I think that's a team that had a bad start to the season, but got hot in the second half, won their conference tournament. Now they have a chance to mm-hmm. do some damage in the tournament.
We'll see what people, the certain subset that exists that's going to vote, how they feel about that one.
That understands rural Minnesota mores and folkways. Yeah, I think that.
I would say that is a significant part of our listenership.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, basically, you look at our listenership, Wade is from a small town. Our friend of the program, Josh Fiedler, is Mr. Small Town.
And that's
pretty much all the people that listen
right
there.
Yep. So 100%. Yeah.
Stu is by far the most urban one on the podcast.
For being from Renville County, I don't know. That's a bitter pill for me.
Seems wrong.
It seems wrong, but you're probably right. It's a bitter pill to swallow, nonetheless.
We need Brandon here to explain the ways of the city, which actually does lead into something else that I didn't quite understand, but I feel like you guys can explain to me. Yesterday on Twitter, I haven't been on Twitter much lately because, as I think you said, Stu, it really is the anxiety machine right now.
Yeah,
and
you just can't. It's
a struggle, so I've just been staying away. But I did check in, I think it was yesterday, and everyone was extremely angry about Edina. And I'd like to know why. I didn't really examine it any further, and I realized that, for the most part, we don't need a reason to be mad about Edina, mm-hmm. but I'm always interested in any new reasons.
No, apparently, my understanding is that Edina was both ignoring the very explicit directions to not have get-togethers, and an equal amount of people snitching on the people who were doing that, so they were at each other's throats. And I guess personally, I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask about this, because my oldest daughter's birthday was on Friday, and she's 21, and you know, so she doesn't
know.
So she, to be fair, she actually made a point to go to her local liquor store at 10 o'clock just because she could, to buy a bottle of like the classy vodka. I think like Chirac or something like that.
I love you so much. She's got her nose pressed up against the glass.
Open
up. Let's go.
Exactly. Right. So I was so exactly so proud of her. And like, so we like follow, I mean, that was the last day where you could like, you know, have a small gathering outside with social distancing with people you don't live with. So like, we like followed that shit to the letter. We hung out in her front yard far away. We got like to go pizza. We didn't like, you know, I didn't hug my daughter on her 21st birthday.
No.
And I mean, I knew, cause that's what we're supposed to, that's the right thing to do. That is like, cause she works with, you know, she works with a vulnerable population for her job, so it's one of those things where we can't take like those type of chances, even if it's minimal. So I did that, and then I read a story about Edina people just, you know, going next door and having, I don't know, a key party or something like that, and then their neighbor down from them ratting them out for having a key party, and it's just like, yeah, I will probably implode if I read any more about this. So I just turned away and watched another episode of Tiger King. So that's me, like, you know, whining a little bit about my personal life and what I know about Edina. And I will pass it off to you two.
Well, this is your chance, Chicken. We don't always yell about Edina on this podcast, but the floor is open for any Edina.
Well, what do you want me to say about it? I mean, I'm.
Well, what I'm hoping for here, if I'm being completely honest,
it's funny because
what I'm hoping for here is an old story about high school hockey, possibly about playing Edina in high school hockey, and if you did sharpen the end of your stick blade in the hopes of drawing blood, I wouldn't be sad about it. It seems like that would be a good story.
I don't have anything good for you, John. I'm sorry. I wish I had something good. And I'm literally texting with a buddy of mine that lives, as we do this, that lives in Edina right now. I love him very much. We never played Edina in high school. Not once.
Really?
No, they were late. Back then it was Lake Red and Lake Blue Conference, I believe that. So we were Lake Red and they were in Lake Blue, and we just never played each other.
Hmm.
We would have got destroyed. I mean, it would have been like.
But you get
Washington.
But you guys
Generals.
Were tier two champions.
Runners up, John. Let's just to clarify, runners up, not champions.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would have got destroyed.
Well,
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Stu said it all. I don't really have anything great to add.
Well, my hopes for a high school hockey story are going to be dashed.
No, what was online was people hating on Edina, and somebody ran a poll about. They offered a choice. It was a Twitter poll. If you could only.
Oh, that's right. Rip, yeah, this is good.
If you could only rip on one entity for the rest of your life, who would you choose? And I believe that the choices were Edina, Wisconsin, or the Yankees. Was there a fourth, Stu?
No, but it was those three. It was those three.
So that was the choice. And John, I'd be interested to hear your perspectives on this. Those are your three. And man, it's a good question.
Wisconsin. No contest. Absolutely Wisconsin.
If
you're giving me the whole state of Wisconsin, including the University of Wisconsin and the Green Bay Packers, that tips the scales right there. And how the whole state should be lit on fire right there.
I would go the Yankees, probably. Just the lack of accountability, and they can buy themselves out of anything.
But that's,
how's that?
They also beat up on the Twins, who are my favorite baseball team, whereas Edina hasn't done that. So, so yeah, and actually, France 44 has a really good wine selection for my wife, and they sell a lot of Surly. So, what up, France 44? sorry.
Even during quarantine, Stuokie,
ultimately capitalism wins in the end on all of us.
except for the Yankees chicken, because they can buy themselves out of all the jams they put themselves in, and
that's fair enough.
And the Steinbrenner family, so crooked they had to screw all their coffins into the ground. I mean, so yeah, so fuck the New York Yankees. That is my answer.
That's fair.
And I know Chicken agrees with me on this, even though he may not admit it in public. But Wisconsin has a much better like drinking culture than Minnesota does. That's
Holy shit! I don't know, Stu. That's a whole nother set of questions. We'd have to really dive down.
In 6 months, when there's still no sports, we can maybe explore that one in a special 3-hour episode of the Wisconsin Minnesota drinking.
I need to sit down. I got plenty of time to do this too. I'm going to develop a PowerPoint. I'm going to get like the charts, all of it.
When they push college and pro football to Halloween, we can. That will be when we do this show.
All right, that's a deal. I'll start prepping now. I'm not. In the meantime, I'm not picking one of these three. I'm not doing it. I'm not participating in this, this fantasy land where you only get one of these three to hate for the rest of time. No, I've got enough. I've got plenty of hate to go around for all three. That concept doesn't exist. It's never going to happen where you can only pick one. What universe is that? That's not the real world. The real world. I hate them all infinitely. There's nothing more than that. Can't do more. There's not one more than the other. I hate them all completely as much as I possibly can. I can't do more.
The answer is none. None blacker.
That's right. It's not none plus one. No, that's it. I can't hate any of them more.
None more black.
Because it is bitter and because it is my heart. Joyce Carol Oates or Chicken Finger 69. You be the judge.
There's a Twitter poll for you, assholes. I could vote on that one. So I'm not participating. That's my answer. And you can't make me.
Yep. You can't make me. Do you have a warrant?
Well, finally, the governor agrees. You can't come on my property. Mm-hmm. Legally, right now, you can't.
Yeah. I have nothing more to add to that, but I do want to back up because Stu mentioned something that I've been seeing a lot of references to in texts from friends and the internet, and it seems like the show of the moment is something called Tiger King, and I'd like to know what in the world that is.
It's
where do you start?
Boy, there's really no where to start other than it's about an Oklahoma polygamist zoo owner who tried to kill somebody who fed her husband to lions. And that only is... there's a whole iceberg under that tip. And there's a guy called Bhagavan Doc Antle.
He's the third leg to this weirdo stool.
Yeah, and again, they're all...
Is this a reality television show?
A documentary.
It's the most.
Let me offer this, John. For years now, years I've been trying to offer insight into my family, and provide some context, some perspective to others on what it's like, what it has been like. The Joe Exotic side, that's my dad's side. The Carol Baskin side, that's my mom's side. That's that's some insight into. You've got the just goofy hillbilly, like hillbilly times 8,000, and then the hippie weirdo side times 8,000.
So what you're saying is this documentary about a, if I heard you right, polygamous zoo owner is also the best way of understanding you, Chicken Finger 69.
I am, but let's.
From.
I don't want to focus on me too much. Let's, John, you need to understand. So this polygamous zoo owner, Joe Exotic, is he? So polygamist isn't even the weirdest part. Like he. That's on the. If you made a laundry list of the weirdest things about Joe Exotic, it's not even.
You're telling me that polygamous zoo owner is only scratching the surface.
John, he's been married. I don't know how many times he's been married, but they only covered three of his husbands. Let's make that clear. He's got three husbands. He had three husbands.
Who are also at least who claimed they're also straight. So
he turned these straight men into polygamy. Not just. He didn't just turn these straight men gay. He turned them gay and into polygamists. Like how? They're straight, and then they come to his zoo, and they become gay and polygamists. It's still not the weirdest part of. That's the part where
I say this. Keep going.
No, it's you look at that and you go, yeah, I get it. The other stuff, the music videos. He's also sings country and western music, but it's just come out now that it's not him. It's actually like a Milli Vanilli situation. But it's not, so he's paying these guys on the side to sing these songs that he's releasing. And he sang a song about Carole Baskin, about her feeding her. Stu, I haven't mentioned this part online or anywhere, or really to anybody, but this is one little microcosm of the show that really got to me. How is the actress in his music video for Here Kitty Kitty identical to Carole Baskin? That's one of the most... She's like... So he lives in rural Oklahoma, middle of nowhere. How did he find somebody that looks exactly like her? What? I don't... He doesn't live in L.A. It's...
Yeah?
None of it makes sense. And you just skip right over that part because everything else is so remarkable that you just accept the weirdest parts because everything else is so weird.
Yep. It's worth it.
There's so much that nobody touches on, like the straight, who's the guy that's supposed to be the straight guy. I mean, when I say straight guy, like the straight arrow, like the voice of reason in a sense, the almost quasi narrator of the show in a sense is just as fucking weird as anybody you've ever met in your life. That Inside Edition guy that did the show, like what, he's supposed to be the straight arrow, like the kind of the north, the due north of the moral, you know, the moral compass of the show. And he's a fucking, you know, chain smoking, weird hat, like went bankrupt. What? Like, Bill O'Reilly couldn't keep him around. He was so fucking weird. Like, what? I don't know. Absolutely remarkable.
Well, I say this with all of the Minnesotan in my voice that I can possibly muster. That is different.
Every goddamn day of this quarantine thing, I turn more into Carole Baskin. And it's the weirdest goddamn John, you got to watch it. Otherwise, I mean, Stu's right. Well, the internet
now that
is right.
Now that I know that it's a roadmap to your psyche, I'm way more interested in than I was at 10 minutes ago. I don't know what else to say. I will say that sports-wise, there's a lot of sports content on right now because it, pretty early on in the whole quarantine, all of the sports networks realized they were going to have to put something on TV, and so they started showing old sports every day. And I really avoided it for a while because I couldn't handle it. And then one night, I finally sat down and said to myself, all right, this is all right. I just want to see some competitive sports. I'm just going to watch this stuff. And it actually made me probably as sad as I've been during this whole process, just because it was a reminder of this is what it's supposed to be like right now, and it's not. None of this is actually happening. It was supposed to be March Madness. March Madness isn't happening. It's supposed to be coming up on the hockey playoffs. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. Coming up on NBA playoffs. That's not happening. Opening day. None of this is actually happening. And you can show me old opening days that I remember, but all that that does mentally is remind me that it's not happening. It's easier to pretend that sports never existed than to watch old games and try to be happy about it. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm in the market for any and all shows about polygamist Oklahoma zookeepers that possibly are also related to chicken fingers.
Set it aside. Just set, 7 hours aside, John? And you just, and then just brace yourself.
I'm still working my way through Letterkenny, so I got about 4 or 5 seasons left of that.
Yeah, I gotta get on that one too.
Go ahead, Stu.
Oh, I was gonna say if you want to talk, our dog is currently driving my wife absolutely bananas. So I will tag off with her if you want to talk about.
All right,
I'm in.
Marathoning, right. And I will get her. I will get the dog under some sort of control. So here I'm going to pass the mic off.
You work on getting Mandy set up. I'm just going to say to Chicken while we're here that the one thing about Letterkenny that bothers me is that it's very obvious that I sound like every one of the characters on that show.
What am I talking about?
And it's kind of frustrating. I knew that I had a flat nasal, almost Canadian accent before watching that show, but the fact that I sound exactly like Wayne and Darian Squirrely Dan on Letterkenny it's been a hard look in the mirror. Let's put it that way.
Do you feel a sort of kinship to Squirrely Dan, in a sense?
I think we all feel a little bit of a kinship to Squirrely Dan.
The bearded gentle soul of the. And almost, again, he's the moral compass of that show, too, in a sense.
Except he's got to take 10-20% off. Which, again, it's a hard look in the mirror. Let's be honest.
Oh, believe me, I get it.
All right, on the Sportive Hotline, I think Mandy's here. Hey. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, we are not living the dream in any way that we could possibly be.
Can't even see the dream.
Referred
dream
to.
Dream is distant. But, yeah, I don't even remember it.
But speaking of not living the dream, Stu tells us that Grandma's Marathon is canceled?
Yeah, the announcement came out today. It's just not happening.
Can I say this?
When
Stu sent the email about things to talk about, the text about agenda items to speak to tonight, and all he said was Grandma's canceled. I'm not joking. Honestly, I thought it was some like sick, really odd way of talking about this virus. Like, grandmas are canceled. Like, oh my God, Stu, that's freaking horrible.
Stu, not okay.
Holy shit. I mean, yeah, we're all nervous.
Not at all okay.
Fuck. Anyways, I'm sorry. Now I know what Ellie's talking about.
The very worst book put out about the coronavirus crisis.
Jesus.
Grandma's Canceled by Stu Newman.
Yeah, it was one of those things, I guess. I think a lot of people, most people kind of figured it was coming. But you know how, like, I'm sure you guys are the same, that where, you know, like, some days feel normal and other days everything feels like the world is ending?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that this is like the lowest of all, like on the hierarchy of problems, this is like the lowest on that hierarchy.
Sure.
But it was like that, this was that thing that I was like, look, it's not, it's in June. It's toward the, it's middle of June. It's out there a little bit further. Kind of that light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
It'll be better. Maybe things will be better by June. So then when it got canceled, when Stu told me this morning, I was about 10 minutes before I went into one of my Zoom meetings for work. And it was just, I don't know, I must have already just kind of been in a not a great place already this morning. And he told me about it, and I lost my shit. I just started bawling. And now, you know, like, again, I know on the hierarchy of problems, it's at the very bottom.
But still.
But it was that, that kind of that carrot there that was out there, and then it was gone. And I went into my, oh my God, I love the guys I work for. But luckily, they're good guys, because I got into that Zoom meeting, and I hit that part of crying where I couldn't talk. And I'm sure for a minute they thought somebody had died. And I'm like, it's okay, nothing's bad, I just need a minute. Like, I went into this. Yeah, so that was, and I've almost started crying several times throughout the day just thinking about it, and I just, it's so dumb, but yeah, I don't know.
No, I think everybody needs something to look in their life to look forward to. It can be a small thing, it can be a large thing, but you should always have something in your life mm-hmm. on the horizon that you're looking towards. So I get it. No matter how small, how big it is, it's the thing in your life that you're looking forward to, and it's taken away from you, and that's, I get it. That's hard. The alternative that I'd offer is, I'm just trying to think of things that are like 13.15 miles from your house. Like, you could get up and run and touch, like, the Target in Invergrove Heights. Like, run, time yourself. Like, touch it. I bet you that's about 13 and 1.15 miles. Touch it and then run back. I know it's not the same. Stu could make you like a shirt and a little medal or something. And I know it's, well, I'm not saying it's the same, but it's something.
No, that's actually a really good idea, because they're going to do a virtual marathon, which at first, like, when I first started, I'm like, nobody wants to run a fucking virtual marathon. Like, it's too far. I mean, I know people do virtual races all the time, but I was like, a full marathon is just too far. But now I've pretty much talked myself into doing it, because then you still get your medal and your t-shirt and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but yeah, so maybe I'll map out and see how far the Target in Invergrove Heights is, and maybe run to that. That might be
fun. Or go north. I don't recommend it. The northern suburbs are kind of a little. I don't know. I don't know what they're up to up there.
Watch it.
I don't really know. It's kind of. I don't know. Go east. Go south. That's my look. I'm just a guy. I just my recommendation. I mean there's like the Olive Garden in Woodbury. It's right off of Radio Drive and 494. It's probably like 13 miles.
I know where that is. Yeah.
Just to be clear, I looked it up in because I had high hopes, but the House of Coats is like 19 miles from your house, Mandy, so you can't make that the midpoint.
What is the House of Coats?
It's a bar right off of Highway 52 where Chicken used to go when he was 14 years old to get hammered.
It's my first underage beer in a bar, actually. I don't think that's illegal to say, is it? No, that's the statute of limitations on that is
pretty sure they passed.
Decades old. Yeah, so yeah, I bet if my dad would be there right now if it wasn't shut down.
If it wasn't quarantined.
Yeah.
Looks like the weird oil refinery right off 52 might be a good location.
Coke refinery.
Oh, okay.
You're not allowed in there. That's guarded by guys with guns. I mean, you can go touch, like, go give that guy, like, well, you can't give him a high five. You could go wave to him.
Go say.
Yeah, wave.
It's like the worst. The worst game of tag ever.
He's got a gun.
When was the last time the second half of your marathon was faster than the first half, I guess is the question.
You know, having somebody chasing you with a gun would be super helpful.
I've often said during the Twin Cities Marathon, I've often said that would help a lot of people. You get to the part where you're going up Summit Hill right at the end, no problem.
That part's hard. it's actually one of the things I was thinking about was, so we were just on, and we were on Sunday, so I've been running along the river. And I had come to this one spot, like in the trail or the path, where I was like, "Yeah, this feels a little hinky." So I'm really not sure what to do around here. And it was about my turnaround point anyway, so it was fine. So then on Sunday, I was like, "Let's go for a drive this way because I want to see what this does." Well, I did not realize this, and maybe I should have. But the route that I've been running actually just kind of keeps going into Minneapolis, and it's part of the route from the Twin Cities Marathon, only on the marathon you cut off on Summit. This just kind of keeps going along the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, I could just have Stu drop me off 26 miles, 26.2 miles down this trail, and I'll just run home. I mean, that...
it adds a certain Benji goes home flavor to the marathon there. Like... You accidentally left somebody 26 miles away, and now they have to run the whole way.
Well, we did that once. I was, Josh Fiddler took Liz and I out on our run route one time, just to, like 10 miles out of town, and dropped us off. And he's like, this feels kind of weird.
Like a dog. Yeah, like the dog you don't want.
He's like, I don't know, this feels a little odd when we were getting out of the car. They're like, no, it's fine.
Well, Josh, you shouldn't have brought a loaded shotgun with you and pushed us out of the car.
God.
That's what made it weird.
Go on, get.
It was fun, though. It was, you know, we didn't have to do an out and back, which makes it a little more interesting.
You know, they should sort of hold the Grandma's Marathon out by the Fiddlers, because that'll be the most social distancing marathon of all time. You could run 26 miles without seeing a single other person.
Without ever seeing another person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those they'd really have to close the roads, though, because the shoulders just aren't very wide.
True. Very true. There's a lot of... the painted lines on the side of the road they're on gravel on the side of the road there.
Yeah. But Josh, you know, Josh is in office, you know, so maybe we could convince him to... Maybe he could take care of that for us.
That's true. Yeah. When you're the president of the township, note, I'm going to fact check that later. You can do pretty much whatever you want, so.
Pretty much.
So. Well, I'm, for some reason I had it in my head that Grandma's Marathon was like at the end of April. So when Stu said it was canceled, I thought, well, I guess that makes sense. I was surprised they hadn't done it already. I did not realize it wasn't until June.
Yeah, it's June 20th.
Boy.
And I had initially hoped, like I said, I kind of figured that it would get canceled, but I was sort of hoping they would reschedule it and push it to fall.
Yeah.
But, like, all the majors got pushed to fall, and then Twin Cities is in the fall, so I'm sure they figured if they would have moved it to the fall, it just would have really not had very good, either it wouldn't have had good attendance, or it would have just been competing with too much other stuff, so...
I think it's sort of part and parcel of everything else that's going on sports-wise, since when they first started canceling stuff, everyone said, oh, we're canceling it for 2 weeks, and then the CDC came out with other guidelines, and they started canceling things for 8 weeks. But through all of this time, it's been there's been sort of shreds of hope to cling to, like, oh, well, 2 weeks is 2 weeks, but then maybe everything will be okay. Well, 8 weeks is 8 weeks, but maybe that's okay. But when stuff in the summertime starts getting canceled, like when they call off the fair or call off whatever that's going on this summer, that's when it really starts to hit home that there are wise people who are looking out 3 months from now and saying, you know what, not going to take that risk.
Right. So, Yeah. And you know what? That's good that we have those wise people out there who are making those decisions and who are looking at that stuff. It doesn't make it suck any less when it happens.
Yep.
But there it is. Yeah.
Well, this sucks.
Otherwise, you know, it's like I heard Stu at the beginning saying it's just like, you know, he was talking about, you know, the size of our apartment and stuff like that. And I was just thinking early, like trying to like think about the good things so I wouldn't be so, you know, pissy anymore. And, you know, it's like, well, you know, I listened to like some of the podcasts I listened to. They've been talking about people who are stuck at home and they're in situations where being at home is like super dangerous and scary.
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't have that, so okay, I guess it's not so bad. And you know, so it's like trying to find the perspective in it and figuring it out. And yeah, it's 950 square feet, but you know, it's okay. We got it.
Yeah, I mean, I live with three other people, two of whom are total lunatics, and then one of whom I like a lot. So. I feel like I have something going for me there. I know people who are living alone and stuff. I know this is really a struggle because even if you don't particularly like other people, it's a long time to go without any social contact of any kind.
It is.
That would be hard. You know, like sometimes, you know, you don't want to talk to somebody but people, but it's nice to have that, the choice to be on your own or be out in front of somebody. So yeah, I definitely think about those people, the people who are just kind of hanging out by themselves too. Who was it? What is her name? On The Current, she was talking about that today. That Westerbrook's.
Oh, Mary Lucia.
Mary Lucia was talking about that today. Just, you know, about people who, you know, she's like, at least some people have a dog or a cat. She was, right. Then the people who don't. She's like, well, just think of us as your family, and it's. We'll get through it. I don't know.
On the other hand, earlier tonight, my 3-year-old daughter was throwing a fit about putting on her pajamas, and with her shirt pulled over her head like she was having a hockey fight, she attempted to throw a tantrum, except she just threw herself down onto the ground face first into one of my, like a wooden box where... That's one of the things my son plays with, and gave herself a hellacious bloody nose. So,
oh no!
Maybe some alone time would be good for me too. Is there somewhere I can quarantine from the family? Looking back at it, it was very much like she played for the North Stars in about 1983. Shirt over the head, blood everywhere.
Chicken, you must have like all this extra time because aren't your kids in like every sport on the face of the planet?
It's really odd. That's what we kind of opened the show with it.
I'm sorry.
You know,
oh,
it's okay. It's,
please,
it's
if anybody's okay. Listening at the 51-minute mark, they can have a recap.
No,
it's fine.
Don't apologize at all. Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know. It's just, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know.
I'll tell you, the weirdest part of this whole quarantine so far was I sent out a group text to the sportive guys at about 7:15 tonight to say, hey, anybody want to podcast in a little bit? And within a minute, I had a response from Chicken that said, yep, in. That is
that
the weirdest part.
Not once ever.
That's usually you play in 2 months in advance, and Chicken says, sorry, we actually have 11 hockey tournaments that day.
Where's Brandon?
He has other friends and can't talk to us.
That's what he said. Yeah. They're talking about their town ball season. That's not going to happen. That's my guess.
Well, that would suck.
Yeah, would suck, yeah. R.I.P. Prayer hands emoji to the Minnetonka Millers baseball season that's now dead.
They're having their championship banquet over Zoom this year. <That's>,
Oh, poor bastards.
Everybody's MVP this year.
Yep. That's very good added. But tell Brandon in it. Give him, make him feel good. Send him that. Yeah, make him feel good.
They can play virtual baseball. How's that?
I will say that I was so desperate for anything to do that I actually bought the cheapest version of the Xbox so I could play sports online. Mm-hmm. And I want to make it clear that I'm the worst person at video games in the whole entire world. Like, if you see me play video games, people are like, do you maybe have a neurological problem of some kind you haven't told us about? Your fingers don't seem to do the right thing. Why are you running that way? You know how sports work, so it can't be that. That's how I'm so desperate for any kind of sports that I'm now playing the sports myself in virtual form. And it's not any less angering than real sports, so I guess esports is going to save me, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I know. We actually said at one point, when we moved, we gave our Wii to Celia, thinking, oh, it's fine.
Oh,
we
no.
Really need it.
That's oh. right.
We've got all this stuff to do.
Shit.
Really bummed right now that we don't have the Wii, and
yeah.
I don't think she's going to give it back to us.
No, you're screwed. No, you're screwed. Gave my aunt, like, $400 10 years ago. I'm not seeing that $400 ever. You're not seeing your Wii. I'm not seeing my $400.
No.
Yeah, you're no, you're effed.
Not gonna happen.
No, it's gone.
Do you, Stu, do you want to get back on? Or? He's just drinking. He's sitting on the couch drinking a beer.
This is Stu's dream podcast. Yes. He got to talk for 20 minutes and then he can just He's leave out. With no repercussions.
Yeah. So, there we go. What else
is going on? The only other thing I have on our list is a salute to Joe Diffie.
I don't know who that is. Oh, that's the country singer.
Oh, no.
I don't know why we're saluting him.
Well, he died. He got the Wuhan and
well,
he died a couple days ago.
Did he?
Yep. R.I.P. Yeah, Pickup Man. Trying to think of songs that you made.
He was a big deal. He was a Grand Ole Opry Hall of Fame, I think.
Yep. He had a mullet and a mustache, which I know doesn't narrow it down for you.
All right, well.
Like the Tiger.
We're down.
Very much like the Tiger.
We're down to every other member of the Opry Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I'm just drawing a blank. Pickup Man is the song that comes to mind.
What else, Stu?
Ships That Don't Come In is another one he's singing.
John Deere Green.
John Deere Green. Oh, Jesus Christ, of course. Yeah.
Come on, chicken. Yeah. That one was right at
the song about the guy climbs up in the water tower and paints Jimmy Don Loves Charlene on the water tower.
Yeah, you don't
tower.
Have to tell me.
And he doesn't pick red.
I grew up in outstate Minnesota just like everybody else.
He picks John Deere Green. Yeah, John Deere Green. That's the one. That would be the song that would probably be most notable for him.
Wow. Just you mentioning that is making me realize just how many of the lyrics to the song John Deere Green I know off the top of my head. And it's disappointing that that's all still in there. I can't remember where I put my car keys, but if I ever need Joe Diffie lyrics, I'm pretty much covered.
Well, it sounds like we're going to lose John Prine, too, so it's
No, he's doing better, I think.
Is he really? Oh, that's good. Well, that makes me feel good.
I think he's making a turnaround, and I think he's getting better, so...
Well, good. They made it sound pretty bad there for a while, so that's good news.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. It didn't sound very good. Like, I think yesterday, even, it sounded pretty bleak, but... This morning, I saw that he had made a turnaround. So,
do you guys want to list off the people that you hope die?
there was definitely an anxiety-producing turn in the news a couple, probably 4 days ago now, because the news for so long was everyone is going to die.
Yeah,
and then it became here are the specific places in which the most people are dying. Which, again, is more specific than everybody's going to die, but still far enough away that it seems remote. Mm-hmm. But then there was a transition in the news to, here are the specific people that have this disease and are going to die. And that was, if anything, that was the low point. When the news, I kept waiting for the headlines in the newspaper to be replaced from, this many people have the disease and this many people have died. And instead, it was just a transition to, here are the specific people that you can imagine in your mind's eye that have died from this.
Only going to get worse.
And that's going to be more. That's a nadir we're not getting out of anytime soon, I don't think.
It's going to be a while. That's too bad.
All right, that's enough. I wanted to do zero virus talk, but you can't talk to anyone right now without talking about the virus at some point.
Well, let's talk again in a few days. We can talk about the Vikings and their game plan for the 2020-2021 season. And
they're going with zero cornerbacks this year. I don't think it's going to work, but it's a possibility.
Let's say we can talk about that entirely and not talk about the virus at all.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I will say the one other thing that's been weird about this whole quarantine thing is at work we have calls where we talk to people who are offshore. They're over in India. And it's extremely strange to talk to people who are based in the United States, every part of the United States, and then also people who are over in India, and we're all talking about the exact same thing, having the exact same experience.
Yeah.
It's like the morning after the Super Bowl, except 7 billion people watched it instead of 150 million. It's just extremely strange.
Sure. That would be weird.
Anyway.
Yep. Because you can't talk, like, typically you might be thinking, like, American Idol or something. Well, they're not talking about American Idol in India. That's because it's called American Idol, not an Indian Idol. That's I get it.
I mean, and nothing would give me more joy than to talk about cricket with those guys. But it's hard to bring that topic up without seeming like I'm very biased. Like, hey, you guys are Indian, must like cricket, right?
Let's talk about cricket.
Yeah. Let's talk about.
Oh wait,
Bollywood. Yeah, you're just naming things that India's famous for. Yeah. I
guess. So anyway, that's a very strange thing. We're hoping to do a podcast where we just complain about Rick Spielman in the near future.
Let's
that
do
would
it.
Be good.
I'm in. Like, in fact, let's just do it. Let's just take a 5-minute break and do that. Let's just keep stacking these things up, John. I got nothing else to do.
I got nowhere else to go, nowhere else to be.
I really don't.
Let's just get ready.
This is weird.
I think they want to talk about Rick Spielman, so I can't do that.
We're not. We're gonna save that.
We're
for
not.
The last one.
I promise, Mandy. Oh, we're not gonna talk about Rick Spielman.
Oh, okay.
We're all done. We're logging off.
I got nothing.
Mandy, ask Stu if he wants to say anything else.
Stu, would you like to come over and say anything else? We're gonna wrap it up.
Oh, no, I'm good. You can.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
you...
I got nothing else to add. I already said that.
Well, you want to talk to your boys, though.
Well, I can do the wrap up.
Yeah, you come over. Okay, I'm going to let him take back over. I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for letting me jump on.
Of course.
Bye, Mandy.
Anytime.
Right, bye.
I just got to say that I love that Stu is stuck in his house with literally nowhere else to go and nowhere else to be. And when offered the chance to get up from the couch to finish off a podcast, he's like, nope, I'm good. Good.
I got nothing to add.
I'm down to three things to do in my life, and they're all better than this.
I got nothing to add. So I need more Tiger King episodes, and I think that's really. How much Letterkenny is there exactly? Is it like it's a half hour Canadian show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's a half hour Canadian show. I think there's about 9 seasons, but I warn you, it's a Canadian show, so there's about 5 episodes.
The exchange rate season. That's only like 20.
Yeah.
It's only like 22 minutes.
Yeah, no, I can. Me and Canada are good. I mean, Gordon Lightfoot. You know, we're all good.
I'd actually say it. It's more so. It's Canadian, but it's more North Dakotan than Toronto. If that even makes any sense at all. It's Toronto's in Canada, but it's more like Minot than it is Toronto.
More prairie than urban, I believe, is what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. So I wouldn't focus
no Vancouver,
on the Canadian
all moose jaw
aspect of it. They say bantam hockey like they would in Minot instead of like they would in Toronto. They don't say it that way.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't focus on
take
the Canadians.
That, Toronto.
I'd focus on it's more of a prairie centric show. Give it a shot.
And Yep, give it a try. I can't believe that I'm recommending a show to anyone in the world, but there you go. We live in strange times.
And John, just for showbiz online production meeting, I did just put the brackets on Facebook.
Oh, all right.
Your blog post is on Facebook now.
Oh man, I can't wait to be on Facebook.
Inundated. Yeah. So my mom will vote.
Oh, good.
That'll be about it.
Is there? We'll talk later. I guess we don't need to do the rest of the production meeting during the recording. All right,
let's.
I've had enough. Yep. Everybody's had enough.
All right.
Okay.
Go Pontoon.
See you guys too.
Everybody, stay safe. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.